Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Youpreneur Podcast. Before we get going with this episode of the show, however, I've got a very special announcement for you. This is your personal invitation to join me, my team, some very, very close influential friends of mine, and a host of other smart entrepreneurs at the inaugural Long Haul Leader Summit, which is taking place in the historic heart of Cambridge, England, on November the 16th and the 17th of 2024. You're going to be able to learn from the best in the business. You're going to be able to network with like-minded leaders and other entrepreneurs just like you that are on a similar journey to yourself. We've got some incredible masterminds planned. Lots of great strategies will be shared. And by the time we're all done together, you're going to walk away with a solid plan of action that you can follow through for the entirety of 2025. But here's the thing though. We've only got 100 exclusive spots available. So this is your chance to be part of an intimate group focused on sustainable success, avoiding burnout, and ultimately making a whole bunch of money in the process. So go ahead right now and visit longhaulleader.com. There's links in the show notes as well to secure your ticket to make sure that we're all hanging out with each other in November this year. That's longhaulleader.com. I'll see you there. Right, let's get on with the episode.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Hello, my favorite Youpreneurs in the world. Well, actually, you're the only Youpreneurs in the world. Let's not beat around the bush. But, however, you're here. And that makes you my favorite, that's for sure. Welcome to episode number 153 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much for joining me as always. I very much appreciate it. Today we've got the one and the only, the great gratitude-driven powerhouse of a public speaker that he is. Mr. Grant Baldwin is in the house. We're talking all about public speaking, but with a twist. We're talking about getting paid, yo. We're getting paid, yo, up in here. Good gosh, I went very American then for a minute, didn't I? Just before we get into that chat with Grant, a couple of quick reminders. The London Mastermind session is still available. Just literally a handful of slots available now. You want to head over to chrisducker.com/London. If you want to spend May 7 in the City of London in the UK, masterminding with me and another bunch of amazingly growth-hungry, value bomb-dropping, focused, clarity-driven entrepreneurs. Good God, lots of adjectives there. Seriously, if you're all about brainstorming and surrounding yourself with like-minded entrepreneurs, just get it, you know? They're in this game with you. They get it. I want you to be there, sincerely. May 7, London, England. chrisducker.com/London for more information. Also, don't forget, as a listener of Youpreneur FM, you instantly qualify for a $50 discount off annual membership of the Youpreneur Mastermind community. We've got our private forums. We've got expert chit-chat videos every month. We've got two live mastermind sessions every single month as well, plus a whole lot more. I want you to head over to youpreneur.com/podcast to grab that discount, become a member, and get into my inner circle. Yo, back to the American thing again. Okay, so onto my chat with Grant. You know, a lot of Youpreneur listeners have been reaching out to me recently in regards to public speaking. Now, I know that not so long ago, we had the great, amazing public speaking coach, Mr. Michael Port, on the show. And he really did a great job in telling us all about why we should be telling stories and how we should do it right as public speakers, plus a whole lot more that he dropped on us as well. But I asked Grant to come onto the show specifically to talk about what we need to do as people that are pursuing some kind of a speaking career. It doesn't necessarily have to be a full-time speaking career, but, you know, speaking is part. It's a very integral part of building our own personal brand and look being looked at as an influencer, a thought leader, an expert, whatever you want to call it, whatever label you want to put on it, it is an important factor of that overall personal brand. And I wanted Grant to really come on and talk about how to get paid, quite frankly, because I come across way too many speakers that are speaking for free. And that's fine for a certain period of time to build up your repertoire and your reputation and things like that. But there has to come a day when you say, enough is enough of these freebies. I want to get paid. And that's what me and Grant discuss on this call. I hope you enjoy. So Grant, welcome to Youpreneur FM, my man.
Chris Ducker, how are you, my brother?
Man, I knew you were going to bring the energy. I just knew it. I could feel it in me bones. I really
could. Well, you and I, we've been sitting here, like, we're recording now, but we've been gabbing like a couple of schoolgirls catching up on life for the past half hour or something, and it's late there, it's early here, but it's like, anytime you get, like, just like-minded entrepreneurs, youpreneurs together, oh, it's good conversation happens.
Oh, my God, I love it. It's all good stuff. And I mean, we've hung out, we've got to know each other quite well the last few years, but this is the first time you've been on the show, and I almost feel like, you know, here we are, episode 153. I feel like it was worth waiting.
I feel like it. You know, I mean, there's times where I've lost sleep going, I wonder if Chris is going to call today. Yeah. Is he going to call today? Today's right. Nope, he didn't call. Yeah. And I cry myself to sleep, but the moment has come.
Yeah, you get on with life. You get on with life
I move on. I've struggled through, but here we are.
The reason why I feel like it's been worth waiting to get you on, because, you know, in the past, we talked about public speaking. We've had the phenomenal Michael Port on here maybe 4 or 5 months ago, talking about public speaking and storytelling. Telling in front of audiences and all that sort of stuff. But today, and you are a phenomenal public speaker, but today we're going to get into kind of the nuts and bolts a little bit of just being a speaker, not necessarily on stage per se, but the business side of things, like how to get booked, how to get paid, how to market yourself, and all that sort of type of thing. I'm excited for this conversation. And I mean, you have got an incredible career under your belt already when it comes to speaking. Give us, for those people tuning in that maybe haven't followed you too much, give us the elevator pitch, the bio.
Yeah, so the nutshell is, for about the past 8 years, I've been a full-time speaker, speaking primarily in the U.S., speaking at a bunch of different types of events and conferences, conventions, and at this point, we've had over 450 paid speaking engagements, earned well over $1.5 million in speaking fees, and spoken to nearly 500,000 people, and so, like, all that's, like, cute and nice and great, but, like, speaking, like you kind of alluded to, speaking just one of those things that's really, really fun. It's a blast. It's a great opportunity to build a personal or a business brand, but it's one of those things that's almost has like this mysterious vibe to it. Like, yeah, but how do you actually get booked? You know, do you just have to like sit back and wait for the phone to ring or wait for the invite to come, or how does that actually work? And so for the past year, we've been teaching a lot about that, about trying to just demystify that and help people understand how you actually get booked and paid to speak. And so, I think that's kind of what we're going to get into today. It's going to be fun.
It sure is. Okay. So let's get into it. Let's get straight into the content. We're both big boys here. we can figure a lot of
with beautiful hair.
Yeah. Bald men unite here today, everybody, on Youpreneur FM. But I'm and you know, the first time I ever actually interacted with you properly was at FinCon, Financial
you make
Bloggers.
It sound like there was an improper interaction there.
Just once or twice, but that was really the first time where we met each other, and we've been in touch a little bit before then. But the first time we really met each other, got to hang out a little bit, got to talk, and then I had the pleasure of having you introduce me as the opening keynote, and it was like, I mean, I noticed very, very quickly how susceptible the crowd were to you, and I said, you know what? This guy's good. Like, he's got the goods. I want to learn more about him. I want to hang out with him more. And here you are now, a year and a half, well, almost 2 years actually after that event. And you've been killing it, helping other speakers and personal brand business builders really take things to the next level on the speaking. So I want to get straight into this and kind of stop massaging each other's earlobes and really just bring value bombs if you're down with that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, okay, let's put ourselves into a situation. Mike, we'll call him, has a personal brand online. He's done a few free speaking gigs here and there over the last year or so, built up a little bit of a name. He's got a little bit of video footage of himself, got some nice HD photos of himself in front of a, you know, decent sized crowd, got a blog, a little bit of a persona online, but nothing huge. What can Mike do to get to the point where he's genuinely not only getting more speaking invites, but he's actually getting booked and he's getting paid for that speaking as well? Take us on the journey. What does Mike need to do?
Well, Mike basically, it sounds like, has a lot of the good foundational pieces. He's spoken a few times. He's getting better at it. He's got a couple of those key marketing tools in place. And so there's always a couple of key foundational questions I want people to answer, because it's not like a lot of times what happens is I go out, I speak once or twice for free. Oh, that was really fun. I want to just do more of that. But that doesn't work from like a marketing perspective. I can't just say that's fun. How do I just sit back and wait for the phone to ring? So get really, really clear on three key questions. First of all, why do I want to speak? How does speaking fit into my business? You know, why is speaking something that I want to add to my repertoire of what it is that I'm doing? The other two questions are really key for marketing, too, being who is it that I want to speak to? Who is it that I want to speak to? So people that are listening, if you're saying, well, I just want to speak to humans. I want to talk to people. I just love speaking. I'll talk to anybody. Well, that doesn't really work, right? And then the third question would be, what do you want to speak about? So why do you want to speak? Who do you want to speak to? What do you want to speak about? And once you get really, really clear on those three answers to those questions, then it becomes much, much easier to begin marketing that direction. So it's kind of like, Chris, you know, you've written a book before. And so if you were pitching a book to a publisher, and they were to ask, you know, like, okay, tell us more about the book and who it's for and what it's going to be about. Well, the book is for everybody. And in terms of where you would put it on a bookshelf, well, you could put it in any section. It's really for anybody about it. It's like no publisher will pick that up. In the same way that as a speaker, if you say, well, I could really speak to anybody and I could talk about a ton of different topics, that's not going to get booked. So you want to start to narrow it down and get clear. So it may be, I want to speak to college students, or I want to speak to entrepreneurs, or I want to speak to moms, or I want to speak to cat lovers, or it could be any number of things, but just narrowing that focus down of being clear on who it is that you want to speak to and what you want to speak about. So from that point, now that you've got some clear answers to those, it's not enough just to, again, sit back and wait for the phone to ring. We kind of have this mentality, same with like a blog or just a website, of just going like, well, if you build it, they will come, and that doesn't work. Like, just because you want to be a speaker and just because you mention it on your website or your blog, or your podcast, doesn't necessarily mean anybody cares.
Right.
So one of the things that I have found that works really, really well is rather than waiting for someone to find me, is I spend a lot of time trying to find the types of events that I think I would be a good fit for, and then beginning to build relationships and connections with those people.
I love that.
And then beginning to connect the dots of, hey, you know, here's what you're looking for in terms of what you're bringing speakers in for. Here's what I offer. And so there's been a lot of events that I've spoken at over the years because I didn't wait for them to find me. I went out and found them and began to, not like in a pitchy sales way of like, hey, you should have me and here's why, but beginning to say, hey, I'm familiar with your conference. I've been looking at your conference. Maybe I've attended your conference before. And so here's something I think I could bring to the table to add value. And so a lot of getting booked in the beginning, I have found, is a lot of guerrilla marketing. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy. It can be very, it's a very long play. It's a long-term game, but I found that it works really, really well to look to build those relationships rather than just purely going after a gig.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you bring up, you know, the term long play or long game, because everything that we're about here at Upreneur FM and inside of the Upreneur Mastermind communities, we're all about long term. This is not a 3-month, 6-month, 2-year gig we're talking about here. This is something that we will be focusing in on and growing our businesses around our brands and what we're all about for years to come. And I think if you go into things with the right mentality, like the fact that it is long term, that it is about relationships and about taking those relationships, you know, in the right direction for the right reasons, then ultimately everyone wins, especially the people that you're looking to serve. And that for me is my number one focus, is taking care of my audience, my community, and all the rest of it. So So how, I mean, where does Mike then take things from here? I mean, he's got the right mentality. He's maybe building up the relationships a little bit. What else can he do?
Well, a couple key pieces that you got to have, and it sounds like he hypothetically has a couple of these already, but you definitely want to have a website. If you don't have a website, you don't exist, all right? This is, at the time of this recording, it's 2016, you got to have a website, all right?
Right.
It's like your modern day business card. If you don't have a website, people think you're pretending. You're not even playing in the game. The second thing that you need to have is that you need to have a demo video. Now, this is called a demo video or a highlight video or a sizzle reel. There's a lot of different phrases for it, but the nutshell is, think of it like a movie trailer, all right? A movie is going to be like 90-some minutes or so. They're going to take that 90-plus minute movie, and they're going to boil it down to about 2, 3, 4 minutes or so to give people just a quick overview of what the movie's about, of what the plot is, of what the theme is. And so that's what you're trying to do with your own demo video, is you want to give people a video that gives them a sense of, okay, if I was considering hiring you, I want to get a sense of maybe your style, of what you're like, of what it is that you talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a phenomenal speaker, but it's just not the type of vibe that event planner is going for. And so it's the same thing with a movie trailer. There's a lot of like phenomenal movies that have won massive awards that maybe you watch and you're just kind of like, or you just see the trailer and you decide it's not really for you, you know?
Sure. It's a little bit like when the Star Wars prequels came out and we got all excited about, you know, the Phantom Menace, and then it was like an hour and a half of nothing but, you know, meetings. one lightsaber battle. You know what I mean? I was so freaking excited when I saw the trailer, and then it's just one council meeting after another. Very depressive situation to deal with.
Let's take that example for a second, okay? Like people geek out on Star Wars stuff. And honestly, I'm not a big Star Wars guy. Like I may have seen some of the original ones early on. And so like when that trailer comes out, I look at it and there's people going crazy for it. But I'm going, I might see it eventually someday. But right. I'm not super – not because it's a bad movie. The movie is fine. It's just not what I'm looking for. And so the same thing is true with speakers. You may have a demo video there that people watch and you may be a phenomenal speaker. It's just not what that event planner is looking for. The point is, though, you can't really decide one way or the other unless you have something for someone to look at.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'll give you another analogy here. Okay, it's kind of like a band. All right, so let's imagine that you own some type of like club or concert venue, and a band wanted you to book them. You wouldn't just take their word for it about if they said, "No, we're really good. We're really well." What kind of music do you play? Oh, it's kind of a mix of like this country, hip hop, rock and roll vibe. You'd be like, I just can't picture that. I don't understand if you're good or not. So you want to be able to provide some type of proof and evidence, like this is what it would be if you hired me. So a demo video and a website are two really key marketing tools that a lot of event planners, if they're not familiar with you at all, a lot of them are going to want to see to get it to use as kind of a gauge to decide whether or not they want to book you.
Okay, let's zoom in a little bit on the video side of things. Okay, so obviously, unless you've got a ton of decent quality footage of you from a lot of different speaking gigs, the chances are, I mean, you know, I know, like, you know, from within Youpreneur, for example, we know a lot of members that are looking at building their speaking careers. Sometimes they either don't have any speaking or video content of them already filmed, or they have maybe one, which they happen to somehow get filmed. Right. You know, there's a lot of different questions here, but I mean, do we use what would be deemed a poor quality video in terms of decent, you know, bad lighting, or maybe the backdrop is kind of crappy looking or something, or do we not bother with that? Do we use maybe just one keynote and then chop it right up into like a 2-minute trailer sort of type thing? I mean, how do you suggest we make the most out of that video format? One, if we don't have any good quality stuff, and two, if you've only maybe got one good quality keynote or one good quality session that we've had recorded.
Yeah, and that's a great question. So I'll give you kind of an overarching principle, and then we'll answer it more specifically. I think the key thing here is to work with what you've got, do it with excellence, and improve as you go. Mm. Whenever you're starting out, your very first website, if everybody who has a website today, if you go back to iteration, one version 1.0, it probably was mediocre at best compared to what you have now.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't compare that to what you have now. You have to look at, I did the best with what I had at that moment, and it worked, and I've improved my website, or I've improved my product or my thing each time. You look at something like an Apple iPhone. Okay, today we are on version 6 or something, right? You have to start with version 1, right? And so if someone came to you right now, is like, hey, check it out, I just got the Apple iPhone 1. That's a joke, but there was a time when that thing was legit, right? So
Right. Work
with what you've got and improve as you go. Now, having said that, let's talk about practicality here. I think there's two key things you can do if you don't have any footage, or if you have footage that's mediocre at best, okay? So one is that you could speak at some type of probably local event for free with the sole purpose of trying to get footage. And every time you speak in general, you alluded to a hypothetical Mike here, that he'd spoken at a few things before. So anytime you're speaking at something, always trying to get footage. Look for opportunities that you can film yourself, not just from a marketing, but just for, it's helpful to watch yourself speak from time to time, just to kind of go back, get some ideas, and see different ways that you can improve. So speak at something for free with the sole purpose of just trying to get footage. The other option, and this, I've seen people do this, and this can work, is that you could speak to an empty room. Now, if you're going to do this, make sure you do this in the type of context and setting where someone would actually book you to speak, meaning record it in a theater, in an auditorium, in a ballroom, in a banquet hall, some type of setting where don't record it in your kitchen, all right?
Yeah.
Where you're acting like you're talking to a big audience. Okay, that's not believable. It comes across as really, really fake. But I've had a couple of different demo videos myself where it's just a tight shot of me on stage. You never see any of the audience. You have no idea how many people are in that audience. So
sure,
it could just be me. It could be thousands of people. You don't know.
Yep.
And so that can work really, that can work well. Again, just when you're getting started, when you're getting something up and running.
I love that idea.
Oh, totally.
I think that's a great idea.
Like my first demo video was horrible. Like I shot and edited it myself. I used Windows Movie Maker, which I don't even know if that's a thing anymore.
Of course you did, right.
So I just had a little handy cam at the side of a room. I spoke to a small group, about 40 people or something. The audio, the acoustics weren't that great. The lighting wasn't that great. But it's what I had. And so I'm probably on my sixth or seventh iteration of a demo video now. Because each time I speak and I get some new footage, then you can kind of upgrade. And so, you and I, we've spoken at some huge audiences of, thousands and thousands of people with multiple camera shoots and these fancy, fancy stages. But that's not what you have in the beginning. So work with what you've got and improve as you go.
I love that. I think that's great. I love the idea. There is nothing wrong by, renting a joint and getting a couple of decent camera guys in there, and just going through your presentation, like you say, with that tight shot. Maybe even print some banners if you really need to or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's marketing. That's placement. And I think that's a great idea. I actually
To jump in on that, a couple thoughts. You don't have to spend a ton of money in the beginning. And I think sometimes people worry, I gotta get a big crew, and then I gotta pay a big fancy editor. And you can do that if you want, but in the beginning, like I said, my very first demo video, I literally spent $0 on. I shot it myself, I edited it myself. Just if you know how to drag and drop things, then we're not talking about fancy edits here. I'm going to play this 1 minute clip, and then I'm going to play this 30 second clip. And it's just simple stuff like that. And so again, it wasn't fancy at all, but that worked. We work with what you've got and improve as you go.
Yeah, no, I love it. Maybe 3 years ago, I had a film crew come into a gig that I was doing in Vegas, and they came in with two cameras and they got some great footage of me. And I was very lucky to have a packed room, which did not hurt the situation, obviously. But, when you get that, and really all it really was, it ended up being just literally a 2.5 minute edited version of the intro. So we gave everybody a really good overview in terms of what this keynote was about and what they were going to learn from and that sort of type of thing. And I tell you, that video clip alone, I know has brought in a ton of different speaking gigs since then. So I think it's important. The sizzle reel is an important element to getting paid to speak, for sure. So, okay, let's say we got our sizzle reel, we got our website rocking and rolling, Mike's feeling good, he's got a couple of gigs under his belt. How does he start asking for money?
This is a good one. So a lot of this depends on, let me start with this. Okay. Couple things here, a couple just kind of high level, and then we'll kind of get down a little closer to the ground here. So I think that oftentimes we, as speakers, we look at it going like, okay, I have to actually get paid for that event or I spoke at it for free. But one of the things I always try to help speakers expand the mind on is there's a lot of ways to get paid as a speaker without actually being paid to speak. Meaning, okay, maybe I'll give you a great example. Okay, you referenced FinCon. And so the FinCon a couple years ago where you and I met, I went and I spoke at that event for free. And so I did a free workshop there. Now, as a result of that free workshop, let's kind of map this out here. I know I picked up one or two coaching clients. I sold a couple of our digital products, or people that were in that workshop later joined our course. I was booked to keynote it the following year, which would have been this past year. I was paid for that. And so, I mean, you can start to... Like you and I got to hang out. We built some relationships. You know, there may, who knows, there may be some financial tie there at some point down the road. So you look at this one thing on paper and you're like, well, you know, you spoke at it for free. Yes, but like I can directly attribute, you know, as much as $10,000 in revenue to that free workshop that I did.
Sure.
So begin to like think beyond just, well, you know, I got paid or I didn't get paid at that event. There's a lot of ways that you can generate. You know, you're a great example too, Chris, of there are times where maybe you would go speak on paper for free, but let's say the event organizer purchased, you know, a copy of your book for everybody in the audience.
Sure.
Well, you didn't speak for free. You know, there's a lot of ways to generate that income and revenue. Now, having said that, though, it is, if you've been, like in Mike's case, if he's been speaking a few times, and you're like, let's just say you're kind of a decent speaker. You don't need to be a 9 or a 10, but let's say you're, you know, a 6. It is not unrealistic for you to get paid the right of settings. Now, having said that, there's going to be certain types of events that are going to pay more than others, certain subjects and topics where you can get paid better than others. So some of this, again, comes back to that initial question of why do you want to speak? If you want to speak primarily, solely because I want to get paid to speak, then that's going to dictate and determine a little bit of who you want to speak to and what you want to speak about. Meaning if you say, hey, I just want to speak to cat lovers about how to knit scarves for their kittens, you may be the best in the world at that subject and topic and the best speaker, but it's going to be realistically hard to get paid to speak on a subject or topic like that. So the subjects, topics are the things that typically get paid, things like motivation, things like sales and marketing, things like customer service, training for teams, innovation, culture. So a lot of those type of like high level, a lot of times just business type of topics, it's easier to get paid for than others. But as a general rule, it varies a lot in terms of what you could get paid. But as a general rule, it's not unrealistic for someone speaking for the very first like paid speaking engagement. Again, assuming they've you know, got a few at-bats under their belt. Hmm. It's not unrealistic to get paid, you know, anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 for that first speaking engagement, which, you know, it goes all the way up from there to, you know, there's a lot of major speakers who are paid, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 plus. But when you're starting out, it's not unrealistic. I mean, we're not talking like, you know, a $50 and a pat on the back. I mean, it's totally realistic to charge, you know, $1,000. So one of the things that I did early on is that there's a lot of variables that go into what you could charge, and depending on the market, depending on how much experience you have, depending on your own marketing materials, depending on the event. And so one thing that I think works is the longer you speak, the more you'll start to establish like, hey, this is my price, this is the fee.
Yeah.
And you know, we can get into some of the negotiation on that. But when you're starting off, a lot of times you're just like, I just want to speak. And so if I can get paid, that's just kind of icing on the cake. And so you want to be a little bit more flexible in the beginning. And so one of the questions I've used a lot early on was I would always ask people, hey, do you mind me asking what type of budget are you trying to stay within? Do you mind me asking what kind of budget you're trying to stay within?
Love that.
And so And so by asking that, I would just find out really quickly if we were even in the same ballpark. Meaning if I felt comfortable charging, let's say, $1,000, and they say, well, our budget is $12 and we're going to need you to pay for your airfare too. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be worth it to me. But if they say, you know, well, we have $750 for a speaker, then I'm going, well, okay, you know, I'd like to get $1,000, but $750, you know, I would take that. That might be worth it to me. And the opposite side is true. So if they come back to you and they say, well, you know, our budget is $10,000, then you don't want to say, oh, great, I charge $10,000, because you're not a $10,000 speaker. So keep it low in the beginning as you kind of feel it out there. And some of it, again, depends on the market that you're speaking to. And so I found that just building relationships with other speakers, with decision makers in that niche or space, that also helps you to get a gauge of what the going rate is for that particular market.
Yeah, you know, it comes to, you know, to me is no coincidence that pretty much everything that I've learned about the speaking industry, and when people ask me what I do for a living, I don't say I'm a speaker. I don't class myself as a speaker. I happen to speak as part of my business. It is as simple as that. And I have, you know, like I said, it's no coincidence. Pretty much everything that I've learned about the business of speaking, I've learned from other people who speak, plain right. and simple. It's not from the event organizers. It's not from reading bloody blog posts or watching videos on YouTube. It's generally down to actually conversing with people like you and right. people, you know, that genuinely do get paid to speak regularly.
Well, and here's what I found too, is that if those relationships are so important, and they are, and I'll give you another example of it in just a second, then it's important to go actually meet those people. Like it's one thing to just send an email saying, hey, I'm a new speaker. I noticed that you're a speaker too. And I'm just, you know, I'm curious if I can pick your brain. Like those emails just typically don't get too far. You know, most speakers sure. I found to be very, very helpful and kind and generous. But there's only so much you can learn in an email exchange. But when you begin to build relationships with people, not only do you learn a little bit more about that niche or that market, the other thing I found is that speakers are really, really good about referring other speakers yes. that they have relationships with.
Yes.
So my very first, I remember after I'd been speaking for a couple years, I went back and just kind of ran the numbers. My very first full year of speaking, my largest source of bookings came from other speakers. And so the reason this works is a lot of times event planners and decision makers, if you do a great job, even if you're phenomenal, most of the time they won't bring you back for, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 years or so. Because a lot of times they like bringing in new speakers and fresh faces. They want maybe the audience to turn over a little
sure.
bit. So even if you're phenomenal, they may be like, that was amazing. We'll call you in 5 years. But as a speaker, you want to continue to build that rapport, that relationship with them. So you want to be able to say, hey, tell you what, let me recommend this person to you. Because if I recommend a good speaker and they do a good job, it continues to build a relationship that I have with that client. So I want to be able to help the client out. I want to be able to help friends out that I know are good speakers that I can refer to. So building those relationships with other speakers that are in a similar niche or market makes such a difference. And again, you do that by actually meeting people in person, not by just exchanging an email or two.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I can say that I can count at least 3, and it might be more because you just never know, but I can count at least 3 that speaking gigs that I've been able to land based from actually having people, members of the audience, come up to me after they've seen me speak live and say, we'd love you to speak at this event, or I know somebody who's running another event, you'd be perfect for it, that sort of type of thing. So that's another road of additional, you know, gigs right there, is the actual audience itself.
Right. And you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is very like in the trenches, tactical, guerrilla marketing stuff. Now, the reality is the longer you speak, the easier it becomes.
Of course.
Now that I've spoken at hundreds of events, I've got a lot of footage, I've got a lot of social proof, I've got a lot of event planners that I've worked with, I've got a lot of people that have seen me speak. There are times where I'll get a booking or I'll get an inquiry and someone's like, hey, I saw you, I was in the audience 5 years ago at an event. You know,
yeah.
Well, that's hard to multiply. That's hard to duplicate. But the longer you do it, the easier it becomes. But again, a lot of this in the beginning is just getting out there, and it's what you do. It's like you pick up the phone and call, you know, so to speak. Now, I don't do any cold calling or anything, but just reaching out to people, beginning to build those relationships. And a big thing that I teach people is to go after relationships, not gigs. Go after relationships, not gigs. And also, like we talked about, having a long-term perspective on the business. I'll give you a great example. Okay, let's talk about Tropical Think Tank. One of the best events on the planet. People need to be at it. All right. So you started it what? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
We're in our third year this year. Yeah.
Okay. So I remember first hearing about it and seeing the lineup of speakers, and immediately thinking like, I need to be speaking at that. Like, I gotta speak at that, you know. And so let's just say for that first year, if I see, wow, you know, Chris didn't invite me, and this sucks, and I'll never get to speak there, and this. But like having that long term perspective of going, like, you know, like I know right now as we talk, like someday I'll be speaking out there. That's not a cocky thing. That's not an arrogant thing. But just going, like, you know what? Let's build the relationship with Chris. Let's provide value to his audience. Let's see different ways that we can help each other, and then someday the stars are gonna align, and it's gonna make sense. And the same thing like with FinCon. Like I built a relationship with that event planner, with that host, over the course of a couple years, like long before, in fact, before he even started FinCon, we had been chatting a little bit. And so when the opportunity came and when it made sense, then able to say, hey, here's what I think I could do. Here's how I think I could provide value. Here's how I think I could, what I could speak about. And here's how I think it could help. And so it aligned well and it worked well. But just having that long-term perspective of, I'm not just trying to go after like a one-night stand. I'm not just trying to get this gig and move on. But I want to build a relationship with these people. And again, a lot of this comes down to this very, very simple principle that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so why is it that someday, hypothetically, you might book me? Why is it that someday, or why is it that, like, our mutual friend PT would hire both of us at FinCon? Why is it that some of these event organizers and planners would hire us? Not necessarily because we're the best speaker. We're good speakers that provide good value to audiences, but because they have that relationship with us, because they like us, they know us, they trust us, they know that we are going to deliver for their audience. And so those relationships just take time, but they are so incredibly worthwhile to invest in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, I mean, you know, as we wrap up here then, I mean, dude, I mean, this is like a topic we could talk about for hours, literally. But literally, that's for you, Pat Flynn. That thing is never going to die. It's never going to go away. We did that. What? Good God. I mean, it must be. It's got to be close to four bloody years ago now, I think. We still get people coming up to us. Like, he and I can be standing at a conference having a coffee, and somebody will come up and say, literally, or literally, you know, and then we'll start, obviously, the whole thing will kick off, and 5 minutes later, you know, we're deep in conversation of how to say certain words as an Englishman, as an American. But anyway, but no, I mean, we could literally go back and forth for like hours on this thing. But I wanted to, like, if there was one thing, other than the relationship thing, other than getting just all your kind of your dominoes, so to speak, in a row, if there was one last pearl of wisdom that you could share with the youpreneurs tuning in right now about just taking things up a notch from a speaking perspective, like looking at it genuinely, blue sky approach as a genuine business model, maybe not in their entire focus, but something they want to kind of, you know, infiltrate. Is there anything, one last little pearl of wisdom that you haven't already shared that you think you could drop on us real quick?
Okay, so you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the business side of speaking. Let's kind of wrap it up this way, talking about the art side of speaking, okay? And here's what I mean. One of your best marketing tools is delivering an outstanding presentation. So if you go and you speak and you're just mediocre and you're great to work with, people are like, oh, that was cute. Let me just pat you on the back and tousle your hair a little bit. But it's hard to build a business if the product that you're delivering is not good. So you want to be able to provide just as good of a presentation and experience both offstage as onstage. So, you know, Chris, you and I, we both spend a lot of time working on our material. We don't just get up and just kind of like wing it and shoot from the hip, but we spend a lot of time figuring out what that audience needs, what it is that we talk about, how those things work together. Spend a lot of time. I think this is a key thing that a lot of us good speakers know and do, is that we spend a lot of time practicing and a lot of time rehearsing and a lot of time going over our material. There, I've spent hours in my office, in hotel rooms, just pacing back and forth, just going over. So by the time I get up on stage, I am fully present with that audience and I'm able to deliver a top-notch presentation because I'm not like in my, like, you know, sometimes you see speakers and you're like, you are so deep in your own head just thinking about what you're going to say next. Mm. But I just want to like just like you and I would hang out, we'd chit chat and we'd hang together. Like that's the type of experience that an audience wants. They want to be able to just feel like you're just there with them, just hanging out, giving some stuff to think about, maybe to laugh about, some things to just ponder, some action steps. And that's what a good presentation is. And so when you do that, then like you kind of alluded to, Chris, you have a lot of audience members who are like, that was awesome. Can you come do that for my company? Can you come to my event? Can you come speak to my team? And so by providing that top-notch presentation, that's generally one of the best marketing tools that you can have for continuing to build your business is delivering a top-notch presentation.
Yeah, I love that. Because, I mean, you know, it was funny. 2014, I was traveling all around the world promoting virtual freedom, yet the keynote that I was getting pitched for was the Business of You, because it really has become my flagship keynote. It is what it is. I think everybody needs that one kind of real stake in the ground type of presentation, don't you think?
For sure. Absolutely. And so, yeah. And that's another like key thing that I think a lot of times we think that, well, every time I speak, I have to write a new presentation. That's not true. Like trick of the trade here is most speakers, I view it basically as a set list. Okay. So if you go to a concert or something, a band may have, you know, 50 songs in their archives, but they're going to play, you know, I don't know, 15 songs or something, mm-hmm. 20 songs. Mm-hmm. And so that order may change. And so every time I go speak, you know, Chris, you and I, we both have stories, we have principles, we have points, we have things that we want to share with that audience. And so the bulk of that, like if you go to a concert, the bulk of that is going to be the same from one concert to the next, but the order may move around a little bit depending on the context there. So a lot of times when we go speak different places, we use a lot of the same material, a lot of the same stories. Why? Because we're not getting up there trying new stuff. The stuff that we are delivering is stuff that we have tried on many audiences before that we know it works.
Works, exactly.
We know it connects with people. And that's what a decision maker wants. We don't want you to get up here and just like try some material and we hope it connects with the audience. Like we want your best stuff. We want you to bring your A game. And so how do you know if it's your A game? That's by actually doing it and honing it in and dialing it in. And that's the type of stuff that decision makers want. That's the type of stuff that audiences want as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. You're absolutely right, man. Well, look, I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I can't wait for us to be able to hang out with each other again. We're going to be doing it later on this year for sure. I mean, GrantBaldwin.com. Is there anywhere else that we need to go to find out more about you as a speaker and what you're all about?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll give you two things. One is we've got a brand new podcast called The Speaker Lab. And so if you are interested in speaking and taking your speaking business to the next level, definitely check that out. You're a guest on it coming up on a near episode. So definitely check that out, The Speaker Lab podcast. The other thing, we've got a free email course. We covered a lot of stuff here, but we have a free email course people can check out, helping people get started as a speaker. You can find that over at, let's put it at thespeakerlab.com/Chris. All right.
Nice.
Thespeakerlab.com/Chris. There you can find that that free. It's a 9 email course, totally free, no strings attached. But check that out. That goes into a lot more depth than even what we were able to cover today.
I love it. Excellent. You'll get that link hooked up for you guys tuning in. Get over there. If you want to take your personal brand to the next level, speaking is a heavy, heavy element of that. There's no doubt about it. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, live. It can be online. It can be webinars. It can be podcasts. It can be, there's so many elements that you can pick up from just becoming a better speaker, period. Grant, you're a rock star, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do feel like it was worth waiting 152 episodes to get you on number 153.
I would wait for you another 152, my friend.
Oh, so romantic. So romantic. For you guys tuning in, show notes over at chrisducker.com/episode153. That's /episode153. I'll be back at you again next week with another fantastic episode of Youpreneur FM. Until then, go do something great. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.
Hey, before you move forward with your day, just a quick reminder one more time about the Long Haul Leaders Summit taking place November 16 and 17 this year, 2024, in Cambridge, England. This is your chance, along with 100 other entrepreneurs from all over the world, to boost your income, elevate your impact, and build a legacy. This is the live event for entrepreneurs that you need to be at this year, my friend, because not only are we going to teach you lots of great strategies and processes and systems and all that good stuff in terms of scaling your business, but most importantly, you're going to learn from the best in the game when it comes to making the moves that you need to make in order to be able to go the distance in business and in life. I really hope to see you there. Grab your ticket right now before they're all gone. Longhaulleader.com. Bye for now.